All right, and we're about to turn it over to Brother Roseberry. And, of course, we all know Brother Roseberry, and everyone I know has great respect and admiration for Brother Roseberry. One of the great things I love about him is he has always led by example, church. He is a leader, one of our leaders, but he doesn't need to say too much for you to know that he's a leader. He leads by example. He prays, and he prays for people, and he prays for our people, and he's very concerned about our families. And so it is a great honor and pleasure to have him once again giving us our evening devotion. Brother Roseberry, are you there?
Yes, Brother Dick.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, with that said, sir, the floor is yours. Take your liberty, sir.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Good evening, church. I don't know about you. I'm sure you can say the same, but I have been so thoroughly enjoyed and been blessed by all of these devotions. And I have a feeling of anticipation knowing that the next devotion is coming up. I've been so eagerly anticipating hearing different voices in the church, such a mix and diversity of knowledge and experience and faith in our church, and together they make up the body of Christ. One thing these devotions have caused for me personally is they've given me things to meditate on in the quiet time and through the day, thinking about that thought, that subject, that burden, that person, that saint of God, sought God and prayed and brought it to the church. And it is such a blessing to hear from each one of you. You've all done so, so very well, and I'd honestly rather be listening than speaking. I wish I had Brother Vic's guitar right now. There's a song that's been on my heart. It's an old song. It's a simple song. And I have sang it many times on my own when it's time to pray and just think about the Lord. And it simply says, as I travel through the pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Oh, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need me out and through this pilgrim land. Protect me by my saving power. Hear my hope. Oh, Lord, look down when I kneel in prayer. I hope to meet you there. That's it, Jesus. Hold my hand. Praise God. Oh, in Jesus' name, I love you, God. You are constant. Hallelujah. You are sure, oh God. I can touch you any time of the day, Lord. Hallelujah. And I can feel your touch anywhere, any place. You know, church, I simply want to encourage the church tonight that God always answers prayer. I simply want to encourage the church to continue praying, to continue. Sometimes we feel like we're pressing in prayer, but there's a great weight we're pushing against. Sometimes we feel like it's a mountain in front of us. Sometimes it's like a sea that needs to be parted. But there's different channels of prayer. Or in other words, there's different ways to connect to the Lord, different types of prayer. And I want to give you some knowledge from the Word of the Lord tonight for just a few minutes and some experience. The more knowledge that you have, the more confident you're going to feel about praying, about how to approach to the Lord And as we learn to recognize, hey, that worked last time in prayer, and last time I tried something different. And so the different types of channels of prayer are just prayer, which is simply talking to God like I'm talking to you. There's thanksgiving, where we just spend time thanking God, not in a hurry, I'm not trying to rush on to something else or get an answer. I'm just giving him thanks. There's supplication, where it's a little bit more intense prayer, but still praying for our own needs. And then there's an intercessional prayer. It's the deepest form of prayer. And we usually get into this when we're praying for others or for the church or other situations. As we pray, there can be different types of answers that we get. We know there can be a real clear yes. We get the answer. There can be a clear no. Sometimes there is a wait. And the answer is not always what we want or what we expect. But when we get to that place in prayer where we're totally submitted and believing God, we're going to be ready for whatever answer he gives us. We can be praying for our needs or others' needs. It's so encouraging to have a balance in our life of praying for our needs, but also praying for others' needs. I'm talking about outside of our family or our immediate needs. It can be so rewarding to see somebody else receive an answer that we helped pray for, to see somebody else receive a healing, receive the Holy Ghost, receive revelation. I can't tell you how many times I've been at church and I've prayed for others. Maybe I've seen them be a little lukewarm or struggling, or they're new and they don't have the Holy Ghost yet. And I prayed for them in that specific service to receive the Holy Ghost, to receive encouragement, and to see them blessed, I am blessed. To see them rejoice, I rejoice. If we are part of the battle, we're part of the good fight, we're also going to be part of the victory. When we're praying for others, we're going to rejoice with others. Maybe we're not seeing answers to our own prayers, and if we're not praying for others, all we see is no answer, and we can be discouraged. But if we're praying for others, think about it. The more that we're praying for other needs, for the church's needs, for needs that is brought to us about different churches, different ministers, the more opportunity there's going to be for an answer, to rejoice, to be encouraged. Sometimes the Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and chapter 17, it records an incident where the disciples prayed for somebody to be delivered, and it couldn't be done. And they came back to Jesus and asked him, why isn't this happening? And Jesus told them, you know what? Some things, some answers are only going to come out. They're only going to be worked out when you have prayer and you couple that, or you connect that together with fasting. And so there's some things that we go a little further and we sacrifice in fasting, and we deny this flesh and fasting, and we get the doubt out of our heart, out of our life. Maybe we don't even know there's some doubt, but when we begin to fast unto the Lord, he begins to show us, and our prayer becomes more effective for that need, that that moment. The big thing I really wanted to just encourage you on tonight is something that we can call timing. And what that means is, are we praying a right now prayer, an immediate prayer, or is it a short-term prayer? Is it a long-term prayer? We might call it a current prayer. We're praying it right now for the immediate need. Or the Bible also calls it a long-term, is known as a memorial prayer. If you look it up, one translation
calls a memorial prayer is like a reminder. In other words, if you go, on a tour or to some destination where you're exploring something, something of historical value, many times there is a memorial, and it's to remind about what happened here, remind why this is important. But many times when we think of short-term prayers, we might think of when there's somebody that's sick. And so if we read in the book of James in chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And we believe this, and you know that we do this and we practice this. Verse 15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." And so they're saying, is anyone sick? Let him be prayed to be healed. But if we step back to verse 13, the Bible uses a different word. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." But that word afflicted, it makes me think of Job. The Bible says that Job was in an affliction, and we know that lasted a long time. And so the Bible uses a different word to portray something that's probably longer and drawn out. And so this would take a different type of prayer, a different type of faith. It's going to be long-term. Now, in the book of Acts, and I won't be much longer, but the book of Acts, I want to read shortly to you in chapter 10. And what we're talking about tonight is different components of prayer, different aspects, different things the Bible shows us. But the main one I wanted to just encourage you and remind you about is that there is short-term prayers and there's long-term prayers. And to not give up, not lose hope. If you're not seeing a prayer answered, we can be praying for a sickness, but many times we're praying for loved ones. We're praying for direction for a job, or people will pray about going certain directions and maybe starting a ministry or starting a church, and there's different things that we can add to that list. And it can be a little bit disheartening to not see that answer right away, unless we remember that there were others before us that prayed, and it was God's will, and they were doing the right things, but it just wasn't the time yet. And so, in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "There was a certain man, Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." So, he was a leader. He had a lot of authority, a lot of responsibility, a lot of people under him. But he was not a Jew. He did not have the Holy Ghost yet. But the Bible does say he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his heart, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And so here was a man who was doing the right thing in all that he knew, but he was seeking for something greater, something more, for his house, because it said that he feared God with all his house. They all knew he was a devout man. The Bible says he gave much alms. He did charity work. He was compassionate, and he prayed to God always. And when we start making our way through these verses, we see that God sends him a vision and an angel. In verse 3, he says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And he, being Cornelius, looked on him and was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel had this to say to him, church. He said to him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are coming up for a memorial before God. Remember that word in some translations where I read it, it says the word is also known as a reminder. Now, God didn't forget, but Cornelius was consistent, and he says, I am going to just remind God that I'm here, and I'm calling on him again today, and I'm trying to reach him, and I'm trying to do what's right. And church, the day came when God dispatched an angel and said, hey, Cornelius, we hear you, and God is doing something about your memorial prayer. That thing that you've continued to believe for. And the Bible sent a dream, and there's a lot of things that happened. He sent a dream to Peter, and he directed him, and there was a meeting. Peter came to Cornelius' house, and Peter began to preach. Because that a man did not give up, and he kept praying. And he said, Cornelius told him, I was fasting and praying. In verse 30, Cornelius said, I was fasting and I prayed. And the angel came and talked to me. And in verse 34, Peter says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And he's telling him, you know what? God saw your faith. God saw the things that you were doing as a devotion unto him, as a memorial unto him. And he kept preaching. But in verse 44, we're skipping through the story for time, Peter spake these words. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And the Bible says in verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, on this group of non-Jews, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Church, revival, revelation, deliverance, and salvation came to a home because a man didn't quit praying. A man didn't quit believing God. And I just want to encourage you tonight, and I want to give you some knowledge to keep praying some things. They might be a long-term prayer, and we don't want to give up right before it comes. The answer comes. I'm just going to be a couple more minutes. But I'm reminded when I was a young person in our church, there was a senior saint, an elderly lady. She was probably in her late 60s or early 70s, I want to guess, because she was retired. And she had raised children in the church all her life, mostly as a single parent. And unfortunately, those children left the church. But this mom, Mama Bear, as Sister Elizabeth would say, she kept praying and she kept believing. But I remember it struck me so much as a young person. This elderly lady, sometimes we would ask prayer requests over the pulpit to the congregation. And every single time, without fail, she would stand up. And we all knew what this sister was going to say. She would say, pray for my son that he'd be saved. Pray for my son, he's lost. Pray for my son that he would come back to God. You see, her son had been a backslider for many, many years. I don't know if it was 20, 30 years, something like that. And every once in a while, her son would come to church. And he was a part of a hardcore rock band. That was his life, just to play rock music. He had the long, you know, big hair band type thing. And he would come, and he would laugh, and there seemed to be no response, nothing. she'd stand up. And year after year, church, she'd stand up and ask prayer for her backslid son. And I can remember the, I can just about remember the day, because it was such a shock when he came into church. He had cut all his hair, and his face was serious, and it was a different look, and everybody was wondering what is going on with him. Well, it didn't take very long to find out, church. He came down to the altar and got renewed, and he meant business with God. He was in 100%, and you can believe that mama shouted in the aisle when that long-term prayer came to pass and came to be. And he didn't just come into church and sit down. He was a worshiper. He was in the church for 3 months. He read his Bible through 3 times. And it was less than 6 months, I want to say about 4 months after he got the Holy Ghost, he passed away of a brain aneurysm. But the devil didn't get that one. Mama had her prayer answered, and that man is in heaven, because Mama kept praying that memorial prayer. And I also remember, so that was a long-term prayer where the mama prayed for her son for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And it seemed unlikely, church, but she didn't quit. She didn't give up. Now, an example of a short-term prayer that I saw a miraculous for myself. I thought about it today, hadn't thought about it for a while. But my grandmother, my grand-maman, as we called her, she, of course, lived in France, elderly, and she'd been sick on and off. And she was lost. You know, she was a very diligent Catholic. And my mom told me about a dream that she had, that her mom would be saved, and she kept believing that. And we got the word one day that my grandmother was in the hospital and not going to make it. And so we quickly got plans together and flew over there. We arrived in the middle of the night and drove straight to the hospital. And she was in a coma when we got there. And we gathered around and we prayed for her. We, of course, wanted her to wake up, but our greatest desire was to tell her about the truth. And Mom had only been in church probably three or four years, maybe. And we didn't see anything happen. We went home. My mom went to the hospital the next day. My grandmother was awake, fully awake, wanting to eat, just everything. And so they talked, and she witnessed to her and told her about what had happened to herself. And my grandmother only lived about 2 weeks, but during that time, she received the Holy Ghost in that room, in that bed. And God needed to do something in a hurry. We're in a hurry. He was not in a hurry, but he needed to do it now. And so with that, church, I just want to remind you that God knows exactly what he's doing, and your prayers matter, and prayer works, and to keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on praying for one another, but for the long-term prayers. There's a lot of backsliders right now. We've been praying many years, and we're believing that God is working on them through this time that we're in. All of these things around us, they can get to our emotions. They can get on our mind, but they don't bother God. He hasn't changed. He's ready to hear prayer. He's ready to answer prayer. And that's what I had on my heart, and I love you, church, and good night. It's all yours, Brother Vic.
Thank you, Brother Roseberry. Thank you, sir. You know, church, I hope that you were listening intently and diligently to everything Brother Roseberry talked about tonight. I know I was, and I hope that you were as blessed as I was. This was powerful, Brother Roseberry. Thank you so much. You know, before we started tonight's devotion, we made a comment about Brother Roseberry, that he is a man of prayer, a man of faithful prayer, and he is someone who speaks with experience. Thank you for this powerful, and at the very end, what a powerful, powerful testimony, Brother Roseberry. You know, I don't want to put words in Brother Roseberry's mouth, but as he was talking about a memorial prayer from a man named Cornelius, I couldn't help but to remember a story about a man, a faithful man of prayer in Ontario, California, who one night up by the baptistry, I might have this all wrong, received a vision, and there was something special and powerful that took place, and I believe that man was Brother Roseberry. Brother Roseberry, you're going to have to share that with us next time now. So thank you. Thank you, Brother Roseberry. That's powerful. That's special. And on top of that, everyone, we got to hear Brother Roseberry sing tonight, and what a great song it was. I remember I was a kid, 7, 8 years old, in Imperial Beach under Pastor Picklesheimer, and we used to sing that song, and I couldn't help myself, Brother Roseberry. I went and grabbed the guitar. I hope Sister Clark was not on there, because I think I was about a half a key off. I hope no one noticed it too much, but I couldn't help myself. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Roseberry. That was special. Thank you. Church, you know what? I'm feeling some anointing right now after Brother Roseberry's devotion, this great message of prayer. Why don't we close out in prayer? And let's go ahead and pray with that same faith, and with that same diligence of someone like a man named Cornelius, with someone like a man like Brother Roseberry. Let's pray right now together. Thank God for what we're feeling. Thank God for giving us this great word tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for your anointing, Lord. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your touch, and we thank you for this great word that Brother Roseberry gave us. Help us to take it to heart, Lord God. And whenever we find ourselves, Lord God, in that lonely place, in that quiet place, help us to close our eyes and begin to pray, Lord, with faith and with diligence, and to offer up that prayer, that memorial prayer before you, Lord Jesus, especially in this time where we find ourselves in this difficult time. We thank you for your hand of peace upon us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
With that said, everyone, we're going to be leaving now for a little bit, but you know what? We're going to come back tomorrow at 10:15 a.m., and we're going to hear from Sister Sanders, and we know we're going to be blessed by whatever she's going to give us. She is a special woman, one of our elders, and we have great respect for her. All right, with that said, God bless you. Everyone have a good night, and make sure you pray before you go to sleep tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good night.